All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 23. Deuteronomy, chapter 23. All right, Deuteronomy, chapter 23. I am going to go ahead and tell you that the verse that I want to speak from is verse 5, where it says, "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loveth thee." Now, you know the story of Balaam, all right? I'm going to take for granted that everybody knows Balaam's story. Balaam was basically a prophet for hire, all right? He would take the highest bid and he would use it to get paid for giving his prophetic utterances. And look back, please, at verse 3 for just a moment. And in verse 3, and of course, God is talking about folks that were not to enter into the congregation of the people. All right? He was talking about folks that could not come in and worship at the temple or at the tabernacle. He was talking about folks that that had some problems, all right? And if you look at verse 3, God says, "An Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever." Why? Well, because, verse 4, "they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt." All right, so they had no respect for God's people, none whatsoever. And instead of welcoming them, they were not happy that they were there. And read on, it says, "And because they hired against thee Balaam the son of Beor of Pethor of Mesopotamia to," what's the next word?
Curse
thee. All right, so now my text. "Nevertheless, the Lord thy God shall not hearken unto Balaam, but the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loveth thee." All right, let's pray. And then I want to use that fifth verse, and I want to speak to you tonight on the intervention of God. The intervention of God. You know, sometimes God steps in there, doesn't he? Sometimes he steps in, and sometimes he keeps us from doing something that would hurt us, or that would hurt the cause of Christ, or sometimes he steps in and takes a curse and turns it into a blessing, like he did with Balaam. And so I want to speak to you tonight on the intervention of God. Let's pray. Keep your Bible open to verse 5, and then we'll ask the Lord to help us, and then the message. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now for your richest blessings to be upon us as we open the Scripture and look into its truths. And Father, I pray that you will help us to realize, as we saw this morning, just how much you love us. And Father, sometimes you have to step in. Sometimes you have to intervene, And Father, sometimes we may not understand what you're doing, but we know that your ways are perfect ways. And so, Father, give us, I pray, an understanding of what we're about to hear tonight about how you intervene in our hearts and in our lives. So bless us now, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Moses is speaking at the beginning of this 23rd chapter about some of the laws regarding who could come into the camp of the Lord and who couldn't. In verse 3, he makes this a very strong statement, and he says that an Ammonite or a Moabite, these are tribes of people now, all right, the Ammonites and the Moabites, and they basically lived in what is today the Sinai Desert and across into what is today far western Jordan. And and in northern Saudi Arabia, that's where these folks were, down in the south, and they were troubled when the 12 tribes came out of Egypt and were marching toward the land of promise. All right, so in verse 4, or verse 3, God says that these people were not permitted to be to enter into the congregation of the people. And then in verse 4, he gives a reason. And he says to them, because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt. Now, that's they should have realized the hand of God was upon the Jews. They should have realized that. Instead of being a force against them, they should have been a welcoming force and assisted and helped them. But they weren't. And so God said that you don't want to mess with them. You don't want to let them in to the congregation of the people. They're not trustworthy, and stay away from them. All right, now, in the last part of verse 4, it says here that that another reason is because the Moabites hired against thee Balaam. All right, so the Moabites hired Balaam and tried to get Balaam to announce a curse upon God's people. And because of these infractions against the Israelites, the Moabites were forbidden all the way up to the 10th generation from entering into the congregation of the people. Now, that leads me to the 5th verse, which is where I want to speak to you from tonight. And in verse 5, we see how God intervened in the Balaam situation. All right, God intervened in that stopped the evil plans of the king of Moab and ended up turning the curse of Balaam that was intended to be upon Israel into a blessing upon Israel, and Balaam speaking the curse to the Moabites, to the very people who had paid him money to pronounce a curse against Israel. So it was an amazing thing how all of this worked out. And so, folks, I think that all of us are going to be shocked beyond anything we ever thought possible when we get to heaven and we find out just how many times and in how many ways and in how many places our God intervened in our lives and kept us from doing something that would have harmed us or harmed someone else or harmed the cause of Christ. I think we're all going to be amazed by that. I have had some good preacher friends through the years, and several of them have told me some of their harrowing stories about how they know that it was the hand of God upon them that delivered them from a situation where they could have been taken out of this world. And just as convincing as they can be, they told me the story. And I really honestly think, folks, that we're going to be amazed when we get to heaven and we find out just how many times God, our Father, intervened on our behalf and kept us from doing something that just may have ruined or destroyed our future. I think we're going to be amazed. You know, when I was a kid, when I was 12 years old, my grandfather bought my brother and I a motorcycle, our own motorcycles. He got one, I got one. And I was 12 years old. All right, now, after a little while, I realized that I didn't have a lick of sense when it came to riding that motorcycle. I would take that motorcycle in places that, it just proved I didn't have good sense. And there were so many times when I went over a cliff or I went down a mountain, down a cliff on purpose. I don't mean, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. No, I went down the cliff on purpose. And sometimes got thrown, sometimes rode it all the way down, and did hill climbs and just crazy stuff. And I can remember the one time where I thought it flashed in my mind when I saw what was coming. It flashed in my mind, I'm dead. And I was just beating it down this road, and we turned. There was a shortcut, and we were all racing to get to where we were going. And the other guys went straight on, and I lagged behind on purpose so I could take a sharp right, and you know the shortest distance between two points is the straight line that connects them. Remember that? Well, I didn't learn much in geometry, but I learned that. And so I was going to take the shortcut. And the only problem was that during that week when all of us were in school, they were out there with great big road equipment and backhoes and bulldozers and everything else. And they were getting this piece of property ready to put a house on it. And so they cut out the mountain. They just cut it out. Now that's where my path was. And so I watched them, and I quickly turned downshifted, gunned it, and then realized, there's a wall there. It was a dirt wall, but there was a wall there. Now when you're doing 40 or 50 miles an hour, and you hit that wall, it hurts. And my mother's famous last words when she found out what happened was, "You could have killed yourself." And I thought, "Mom, if you only knew how many times I could have killed myself." I mean, folks, listen, God, in probably all of us' life, God has had to intervene, or we would have done something so foolish that it could have ruined us for life. I mean, I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God has intervened many, many times in my life. Now, there is a truth here. There is a point here. And that point is that God intervened for the people of Israel, and he turned what was intended for evil into a blessing and something good. Now, three things that I want you to see tonight about this intervention on God's behalf. Let me read the verse. You follow it along. Verse 5. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God would not hearken unto Balaam. God would not hearken unto Balaam. But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loveth thee. Now, first thing I want you to notice. First, the rejection in God's intervention. The rejection in the intervention. The first part of verse 5 says, the Lord God would not hearken unto Balaam. You see, the prophet Balaam was hired to curse the Israelites. But he ended up blessing them instead. And so what I want you to notice here is that here come Balaam with the intent of cursing Israel, but God rejected Balaam's plans and flipped them around so that instead of cursing Israel, he ended up blessing Israel and cursing Moab. He cursed the very people who paid him to pronounce the curse against Israel. You see, folks, God rejected Balaam's plans. But not only Balaam's plans, but also the king of Moab's plans. And the idea this wicked king of Moab came up with was to curse the Israelites to keep them out of the promised land. They did not want them going into the promised land. Now, I want you to look at this with the big picture in mind, okay? Now, let me explain to you what I mean. Everything in God's plan for Israel and for our redemption, for man's redemption, was dependent upon the Israelites getting into the land of promise that was promised by God to Abraham many, many years before. And that is why the devil stirred up the king of Moab and gave him the idea of having Balaam curse Israel. The whole idea was to stop the people of God from getting in to the land that God had promised Abraham. Now, do you understand that? But what I want you to see is God rejected their plans and stopped their plans right there, that minute, right in their tracks. Now, what's the lesson that we can learn from this? Well, here's the lesson, folks. And remember, God has intervened in your life too. God has intervened in your life just as much as he did with the children of Israel here. So what is the lesson that we are to learn from this rejection of God for the plans of men? Well, here it is, folks. The lesson is God is still running the show. God is still running the show. And I think we often get so overwhelmed with the chaos of this world that we forget this very vital and important truth about the situation. Folks, the devil might stir up the evil king and the wicked prophet who can be purchased with the promise of gold, but all of us need to understand that God is still in charge. God is still in control. Folks, I've told you before, but I mean this with everything I can give it to you with. The devil is nothing more than a yes man. He cannot do anything unless God allows him to do it. And we need to understand that. We need to realize that. Now, the devil, he's going to stir things up the best he can, but understand that God is still in control. And if God's will does not involve Balaam cursing Israel, then I want you to know Balaam is not going to curse Israel. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened. You must remember that God made a promise in Genesis chapter 12, and he made that promise to Abraham. And he said that Abraham's seed would dwell in the land of Canaan, and that God would, of Abraham's seed, make a great nation. And God said to Abraham, you look to the north, and then you look to the south, and you look to the east, and then you look to the west. And Abraham, every place that your eye sees, I have already given you that land. It's yours. And your descendants are going to have a great nation in this land. And so God made the promise. And when God made the promise, then God was bound by his word to fulfill that promise to the sons of Jacob. And if God didn't, then that would have meant that God had lied to Abraham. And God cannot lie. Titus 1:3. All right? So listen, church. Men may plot and scheme and conspire against God or against God's plan or against God's people or against the church, but it is God Almighty who is in control, and God Almighty controls the outcome of all things. So realize that. God's in control. I know it's hard for us to grasp, but everything that happens in our world today is not about Washington, D.C. And everything that happens in our lives today is not about New York City. All right? I mean, it's about Israel, and it's about the people of God, the church. That's what it's all about. We need to stop looking at the world through limited eyes. We need to stop looking at the world through such a tiny little lens. You ever taken a pair of binoculars and instead of looking through the little holes, turn it over and look through the big holes? Yeah, every kid has done that, haven't you? Sure. Well, when you look through those through the big ends of the binoculars and look out the little ends, well, you get a distorted view of what's around you. And it's the exact same thing if we, as God's people who have access to the book and who know what the book says and who have read the end of the book, and therefore we know how things turn out, it is silly for one of us to then get discouraged and to get all down in the face and just throw our hands up in the air and say, what's the use of going on? Well, I'll tell you what's the use of going on. There are people who are still on their way to hell, and we have the capacity and the ability to show them how to get saved. Listen, folks, I would much rather see heaven increased and hell decreased. I'd much rather see that than another 4 years of Trump. Amen. All right? Now, I'll be honest with you. Now, I voted for the man, and I think they cheated. And I think you cannot tell me that America voted for a senile, washed up politician. I'm sorry. I mean, I just don't believe it. I said from people asked me, and I did not offer my opinion, but when people asked me, they said, what do you think is going to happen in the election? I said, Trump, landslide. And by the way, it was. You take away the cheat, it was a landslide. All right? It was. But now, this thing's not over. So don't get all bumfuzzled here and get weary in well-doing. Folks, you serve God, not the Republican Party. You serve God. Put Him first. And all these other things will work out. All right? So we look at things and we understand them from the perspective of, how is this affecting me? But we need to look at the big picture and ask ourselves, how does this affect the children of God, the people of God, the nation Israel? I've told you before, the Bible is not New York City centric. It's not Chicago centric. It is not New Orleans centric or Washington, D.C. centric. Thank the good Lord. But it is Jerusalem centric and Israel centric. So let's keep that in mind. Folks, what I'm trying to get you to see tonight is just to realize that God is in complete control of all things. And never forget that God Almighty is in control of the outcome. God is. Okay? God is. I've told you that God, that our God controls the world, and He controls the outcome of everything. Yes, the devil is the god of this world, but it is God Almighty who controls the god of this world. And we need to realize that. And that plan that God has given is right here in this book. It's right here in this book we call the Bible. And God does not disguise His plan. He does not make it impossible to realize or to comprehend His plan. And I'm telling you that absolutely nothing is ever going to alter or change or rearrange or reconstruct God's plan. There is nothing that Biden can do. There is nothing that Kamala Harris can do. There is nothing that Trump can do. There is nothing that Benjamin Netanyahu can do. There is nothing that Benny Gantz can do. None of them can in any way, shape, or form do one thing to change the plan of God. So let's keep that in mind. Now, the old wicked king of Moab, he bought and paid for a prophet, a false prophet, but a prophet named Balaam. And the two of them tried their best to stop the children of Israel from entering into the land. But God rejected Balaam's curse and turned it instead into a blessing. Number two, go back to verse 5 again. And let me show you a second thing. Secondly, I want you to see the reversal in the intervention. Not only did God intervene and stop the king of Moab and Balaam, but secondly, I want you to notice that God reversed the situation. If you go back to verse 5 and look carefully, that second phrase says, "But the Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee." God so worked in Balaam that instead of speaking a curse upon Israel, Balaam pronounced a blessing. Now, can you imagine how shocked Balaam must have been when instead of a curse, a blessing came out of his mouth? Can you imagine how floored he must have been? Imagine how shocked the king of Moab must have been. I mean, he dug down into the coffers and paid Balaam to do his bidding. And old Balaam says, "Thank you, sir. Thank you." And the king says, "Now, Balaam, you go out there, and I'm telling you, son, you just go out there and curse those Israelites. You go out there and just pronounce a big doozy on them, all right?" And Balaam looked and said, King, listen, thank you so much for your generous love offering here. And I will really ham this thing up. I'm going to give a performance that I'm going to convince myself that I'm doing the right thing here. It's going to be so good. And you're going to love the way it looks, and you're going to love the way it sounds. It's even going to impress you, O king. You're going to see. And when Balaam then turned and went out to speak, make no mistake, he went out to curse Israel with everything he had in him. I mean, he went out there with the sole purpose of cursing the people of God. But you remember the story. And look again at verse 5. It says, "But the" who? "Lord God turned the curse into a blessing." Now, who did that? The Lord did that. All right? See what I'm saying to you? All right? Balaam takes some money. He then turns around and he goes, "Thumbs up, king, we're going to do this." And he walks out, and his intent as he is going is to curse Israel. That's his goal. That's what he just got paid to do. But when he got out there and started speaking, the Lord God took over, and instead of Balaam cursing the children of Israel, Balaam cursed the man that just paid him and all of his people. Wow. That's pretty awesome if you ask me. You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see just one time in my life before I die, and right now would be just a perfect time for it to happen. I would love to see the truth unveiled. I mean, I would just love to see the truth unveiled. I wonder if there are cameras in those counting places. I wonder if there are cameras in the post office where ballots are pulled and then thrown in trash bins. I wonder if there are cameras in the polling places when people go in with their ballot, stick the ballot into the machine, and then all of a sudden it's a vote for the other candidate. I wonder. And wouldn't you just one time before you die like to see justice here? I know I would. I mean, you know, they've got the goods on those people. And I don't understand why they're sitting on it. I just don't understand it. Now, they say they've got the goods on them. And what I've seen, it looks like they do. But wouldn't you just like one time for all to be exposed? I know I would. I know I would. Well, that's exactly what God did right here. God revealed it all. He turned it around and exposed the false prophet for what he was. Let me tell you something, folks. Balaam gets no credit for this because he had nothing to do with it. That's why he gets no credit for it. He had nothing to do, nothing in it. It was God Almighty who overruled Balaam's attempt to curse Israel. Man, I'd like to see God intervene. I would love to see God reverse what we're seeing in our country. Now listen, let me show you an example of how this works. All right, let me give you a biblical example. God is always, I mean, he's always doing it. And like I said, I can't wait till we get to heaven so we find out just how many times he's done it for me, how many times he's done it for you. I just can't wait, all right? But let me give you a Bible example of this. Do you remember when Joseph's brothers sold him to the Midianites, and then Joseph ended up down in Egypt? And Joseph looked at all of this stuff that was happening to him and no doubt saw it as a great curse in his life. But it turned out to be a great blessing, especially for the entire known world at that specific time. You see, the whole Middle East was under a great drought, and the drought brought on famine. And so Jacob, up in the land of Canaan, he sent his sons, Joseph's brothers, down to Egypt to buy food. And God had blessed Joseph, and he had plenty of food. And he probably sat there and scratched his head and said, why is every other nation starving, and we got more than we can use? And then one day, somebody came in and said, sir, there are some men here. They say they're from the land of Canaan. Do you know where that is? And I'm sure Joseph smiled and said, well, sure, I know where that is. And he said, bring them in. And when they walked in, lo and behold, it was his own brothers, the very ones who had sold him into slavery. Are you listening? Isn't that something? And the Bible says that when they came in, they did not recognize Joseph, but Joseph recognized them. And when he knew that it was his brothers, the emotion overcame him. And he had to turn away to hide his emotions. Amazing. I mean, the man was broken. And you know the story. You know the story. Jacob sent his sons, and then they went through all of this procedure, and the brothers were sent back to bring the others that were there. And so they all came back, and then, is this all? I mean, do you have any more? And they said, well, we have our little baby brother that was born, and this would have been Benjamin, who would have been Joseph's full brother. All right? Rachel was the mother of Joseph and was the mother of Benjamin. And so what he said was, he said, well, you leave Simeon here, and then you go back and you get that little brother, and you get my dad, and you bring him down here. Only he didn't call him my dad, I'm sure. You get your father, bring him. And so lo and behold, here they all came. Can you imagine that, folks? I mean, I want you to just think about Jacob. As a matter of fact, we read in Genesis 42 and verse 36, when all of this was going down, that Jacob said, when he heard what his sons had told him about taking Benjamin, why, he was broken. Benjamin was the apple of his eye. I mean, his wife, Rachel, died giving birth to Benjamin. And so when in Genesis 42:36, Jacob heard all of this, and he said, and I quote, all these things are against me. All right? So he saw it all as a curse. What Jacob thought was a great curse upon him turned out to be one of the greatest blessings of his entire life. And the reason is because he got his sons back, he got Benjamin back, he got Joseph back, and he got food for everybody. Isn't that amazing? You say, boy, God sure worked a lot of coincidences there. Yeah, but weren't they just wonderful coincidences? Don't you think? Of course they were. You see, folks, often our trials and our tribulations, they look so great, and they look so powerful, and they look to be a curse upon us. But all we need to do is simply leave it with the Lord so that the Lord can turn our trials and our tribulations around, just like he did for the children of Israel, and just like he did for Jacob, and just like he's done for multitudes of us, and he's still doing it. In other words, folks, you can trust in your God. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, our light affliction, it says, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And folks, if we have ever trusted God for the betterment of our country, we need to trust Him now. We've got to trust in the God that loves us. That leads me to the third thing, and that's the reason for the intervention. Look again at the verse, the last phrase. And what's it say? Because the Lord thy God loveth thee. You want to know the reason for God's intervening in our lives? Well, it's because of the great love that He has for us. Let me just say it this way. God's great love is the reason that any of us experience blessings. Any of us. As we learned this morning, God's great love sent our Savior. That's God's great love that said He gave His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to die on the cross for our sin, to provide us with an eternal salvation. And folks, no doubt, this salvation is the greatest of all blessings. No doubt about it. Christ's great love has changed many a curse into a blessing. Don't forget, dear friend, before you had trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you had a curse upon you. It was called the curse of sin. And that curse was dragging you by the nape of the neck right into hell. But the Lord Jesus came and he reversed that curse. And why did he do that? Because he loves you. He loves you. Oh, thank God for what he's done for each and every one of us. The Lord came and he removed the curse of sin. You had a curse upon you, and that curse was sin, and sin brought death. And then God reached down into the pit one day, and he lifted you out. And he changed the curse into a blessing by forgiving you of all your sin. Folks, the curse is gone. It's gone. Never to be remembered against us no more. You can't beat that. I mean, that's as good as it gets right there. And what did Jesus replace that curse with? Everlasting life. Wow. I'll take that exchange any day. And realize, folks, that is not by our merit, but his mercy, his grace, his love is what gives us this great blessing instead of the great curse. Oh, the wonder of God's salvation, that God could take an old sinner like me, an old sinner like you, and then remove the curse of sin that is upon us and turn it into the wonder and joy of everlasting life. And it's all because he loves us. Look at that last phrase. Because the Lord thy God loveth thee. Folks, don't you think that this ought to inspire each and every one of us to love our God even more? Don't you think that knowing this now puts us under a greater obligation to love the Lord more than we've ever loved him before? 1 John 4:19 says, we love him, speaking of God, because he first loved us. You know, back when I was 16 and I got saved, I could honestly tell you, I didn't love the Lord. I didn't love him. I mean, I didn't know him. And I didn't love him. If you had walked up to me before I got saved and said, do you love the Lord? I was, what? No, what are you talking about? I didn't love him. But then I started going to church, and the pastor was preaching that God loves me. And I remember sitting there one day and he said, God loves you. I said, whoa, that can't be. That can't be. But he does. And he did. And he loves you as well. That is an everlasting, eternal love. And folks, I think all of us understand just how good the Lord is to us. I hope you understand that. We have so much to be thankful for. And as we realize the love that he has for us, that certainly ought to inspire us to love him. If given the opportunity, I think the devil would probably kill us all. I think he would. But thank God, the Lord has intervened. And thank God he has reversed the curse. And thank God the reason he did it is because he loves us. Folks, let's trust him. I know that all of you are you're disappointed as you can be. But folks, look at me, look at me. The press, that corrupt, anti-American, corrupt, they don't choose the president. They don't make that decision. And that's why there is a time period between the election and when the Electoral College meets. The press chooses the president. In our generation today, but no, the Electoral College does. So don't get weary. We've got this time, and the reason that the Founding Fathers did that was so that things could be examined. And I think that this president is going to examine things thoroughly. So don't get weary in well-doing. Don't stop praying. Don't get discouraged. And you just keep your eyes on the Lord. The Lord will take care of this. One way or the other, the Lord will take care of this. Folks, you don't know. I mean, you don't know. It may be that Trump gets solidly defeated in court. It may be that there is no justice in America anymore. It may well be. Kind of looks that way now, doesn't it? Two-tiered justice system. One for the Clinton crime family. And the other for us peons. All right? I don't know. Maybe nothing happens. And maybe on January 20th, God help us, but maybe on January 20th, they get sworn in as president and vice president. I just got a shiver. But it may happen. But folks, listen, you ever think about this? Maybe this is the preparation for the Lord to come back. No, he's coming. Says so right here. So let's just trust him. There is a plan. It's right here in the book. And he's in control. When God intervenes, my. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to intervene once again. Lord, you stepped in and you helped the people of Israel, the nation. They didn't even know that they were being helped. And you took old Balaam, not a Jewish prophet. You took old Balaam and you turned it completely around. And I pray that you will intervene here in our situation. And Father, help us to trust you during this time. It's so easy for us to get discouraged and to throw up our hands and just want to quit. But Father, you're in control. And so I pray that you will do what needs to be done so that justice prevails. Father, just one time, I would love to see justice in this country. I would like to see just one time folks get exposed for the crimes that they have done against the greatest country that this world has ever seen. And so, Father, I pray that you will intervene. I pray that you'll help us to look to you and trust you and realize the plan that's in this book. So bless us now, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.